Welcome to the Gamers Inn. Come on in and pull up a chair next to the fire. It looks like you've had a long journey. I'm your host, Jocelyn, and joining me, as always, is my co-host, Ryan. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, you can't see me right now, but I'm actually wearing my glasses, so I apologize if that totally ruins the show for everyone, but yeah.
Whoa.
It's a nerd glasses kind of night.
I'm not wearing my glasses.
Oh my god!
It's like we've changed.
It is.
Today's Friday. It's Freaky Friday, trademark Disney. Oh, so the chat's working again.
Oh, that's good.
I don't know
Our
who's typing.
Our chat was not working earlier, so that's fantastic. I'm glad we have a chat room. I should probably log back in. But Ryan, why don't you tell me why there's a whole load of crap behind you?
Because I'm a hoarder, Jocelyn, and there's dead cats in there. That's awful. No, there's no dead cats. But I'm moving. Speaking of dead cats, we'll get to that. I'm moving to a house that I purchased with my girlfriend. And yeah, all this crap here is going over there. I'm moving across the street.
Like actually literally across the street?
Yeah, literally. Like my
wow.
Where I live, like the, we didn't go far. I'm getting word that I'm silent. I'm usually very loud, but yeah, anyways, no, the house is right across the street. If I didn't have so many friends, I could just like wheelbarrow my stuff to the other house. But, the house is nice. And everything's going to be set up in like a matter of 3 days. So it'll be interesting. Yeah, the whole place smells like cats have been living there, and only cats.
Which is really unfortunate.
Yeah, so right now, Ashley and her parents are over there tearing up carpet, and probably going to throw it out into the backyard, so the neighbors are probably going to love that.
Yeah, I can only imagine. Although, I mean, if you're the old people who lived there kept a whole bunch of, like, dead cats that peed on dead cats don't pee on things. Live cats who pee on things and then died and then stank up the place. They might be really happy that you're ripping out all the carpet, and they might actually just put up with it for a couple of days.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm pretty sure that whoever was living in the basement with the cats, they were losing their apartment, so they just, I don't know. It could, I don't know. I don't have cats. I've had cats before, and they've never been that big of a problem, so yeah.
Yeah, no, my cat was never a big problem either, but well, until I moved down here and couldn't bring it because Joel's allergic, so boo.
Yeah, that's the other thing, because Ashley's allergic, so we can't even we probably wouldn't be able to even move in unless they get the carpet out of there right away. So
oh man, that's well, yeah. Not funny, I guess, but I'm sorry.
Funny.
I'm so tired, so I'm probably gonna say a lot of inappropriate things tonight. I apologize ahead of time to everyone.
It's pretty funny when you think about it. Like, nobody's suffering, you know, very much. But no, it's good. And I'm really looking forward to getting in there and setting up two places, mainly the TV area and my office. So I'm going to have an office. It's going to be an enclosed area now, and I'll be able to do my podcasting, and I won't have to send Ashley to the bedroom where there's nothing to do.
Nice. So, with all of your moving and stuff, mm-hmm. Have you actually had time to play any games?
I have. I have had a lot of time to not play a game, but do you remember the game Republic? Do you remember that whole thing?
I do.
Yeah, like last summer, it was the big Kickstarter that almost didn't happen, and I got in right under the wire there. I purchased, I think the $40 pack with the iOS and the PC. It's not out yet. It's coming out in the summer. But one of the weird things about Kickstarter is I've just been Kickstarting things and then ignoring it until I get something out of it. And the only thing that I've actually got from a Kickstarter wasn't even game related. It was the Nerdtacular stuff.
Right.
So I figured I'd be a good Kickstarter and kind of learn about how my game's doing, I guess, if we put it that way. So Republic has a podcast called the
this is a test.
Yeah, the Republic anyways, they have a podcast. I could look it up, but I won't. It's really interesting, and it's free, available to all people, not just to backers. And it's really cool. I went through, they have 5 episodes, and they just posted another one, and they usually range from an hour to, one of their biggest ones was like 4 hours. And it's really cool because it's the only podcast I listen to that not only talks about games, but specifically about game development. It's really interesting because I'm really interested in design, not necessarily like the geeky stuff, like how they make things walk. Like that's, to me, that's cool, but not quite as interesting as, you know, what, you know, let's spend an hour talking about gameplay, you know, and how it'll work and how it should work and how people hate how the things work and how they don't work and all that fun stuff. So if I was to recommend a podcast to people who are interested in game design, like this would be the one to go and get because
that you can't remember the name of. I'm going to Google it right now.
I'm finding it. Ugh. It's something about tapes. Wait for it. This is live. Camouflage Radio. Oh, real freaking... That's unique. Camouflage Radio tape 1 or 6.
I totally recommend this, but then I'm just going to be all angry about it.
Because I couldn't remember the name because it's so generic. But it's a really cool podcast, and the games come a long way. They just actually posted some updates, some actual screenshots and video and stuff, and it's going to launch iOS this summer. And if you're at all interested in game design and just want to kind of listen to some people talk about making their game, it's really cool. And then there's the old fact that at the end of the podcast, they talk about Dark Souls for sometimes 5 minutes. The Christmas episode had a 2-hour segment on Dark Souls.
Really?
Yeah, so if Jocelyn, like, you probably don't want to watch that one.
Why? You know what? I'm done.
We didn't talk about this on the show, but I tried Dark Souls, and I think I got a little farther than you did, but I just couldn't get into it. It was weird. But, yeah.
So you haven't actually been playing Republic, but...
No.
Is anything that you... Oh, shoot, and I totally forgot to get my prop. Dang it.
Your prop.
Do you have your prop, Ryan?
Yeah, hopefully I don't... Actually, while I'm digging this out, I think the stream is... They can't hear me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shoot. Again, we were doing so well with no tech issues.
Ryan's prop is a mute button. All right. This.
See, there's something weird with the chat room, too, because I can only see, like, every once in a while messages, so I'm just going to get out of there.
I don't know who's typing, but they're saying it's muted, and then they're saying it could be intentional.
It's not intentional.
It's not. Ryan is not taking up miming. That wasn't the big news at the top of the show. If I was, I'd be doing an awful job. This podcast is muted for...
Well, while I try to fix it, you show the awesome thing that both of us got.
Yeah.
And about it. Even though no one's going to be able to hear you. This is a poor idea.
All right, I'll show people. Ooh, okay. This is the Legend of Zelda Hyrule Historia. And gotta say... This thing is pretty thick. I didn't realize how thick this thing was going to be.
It's huge.
It's big. And how much... Did you pre-order yours?
I did pre-order mine, yes.
Okay. So that's good because you got it on Amazon probably for the low, low price of $25.
I did. Yeah. I think so. I think I might have actually even gotten a cheaper pre-order price.
I forgot that this was coming out. And I pre-ordered it like a week before it came out. It's really well done. Like, just, man, if you couldn't read, you could just look through all the pictures and stuff. Like, I'm not being funny. I'm just saying that Zelda is a franchise enjoyed by many ages, and just to go through here, you could probably, Ryan, I can't hear you. Ryan. But no, it's really cool, and, it's like 400 pages. Like I said, it's thick. There's a huge, like, manga comic in the back, which is really neat. Make sure you read it backwards, because if you don't, you'll spoil yourself. So let's see if I can get... Oh, yeah.
Careful with the spoilers.
No. This is the start. See? Oh, look okay. At that. Ooh, this is really cool looking, eh?
That is really cool looking, actually.
You didn't even open yours yet, did you?
I haven't opened it. No, I was waiting. I was going to debut it on the show and then be like,
So you're
and then in... I forgot it in the living room. And we're we're back. Sorry about that, guys. Please let me know if you can hear Ryan. I think we may have fixed the problem. Okay, now, Ryan, you're just screwing with me. And that's not cool.
Oh, man. Totally had you going, guys. Can you hear me now? Because if you couldn't, then this would just be weird and it would look like I'm screwing with you even more.
Oh, okay, so let's pick right back up here. Sure. With High School Historia, which we both bought, which is awesome, which I totally should have taken the break to go grab my copy so I could have been like, as well, but...
It's interesting. You're going to love the first 100 pages because it deals with your favorite Zelda game, Skyward Sword.
You know, like
I'm just kidding.
There were a lot of comments when I posted that picture saying, I thought you were done with Zelda. I thought you hated Zelda, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, no, it's not that I hate Zelda. It's that I don't like the gameplay. I don't like where they've gone with that. I love the lore and the world of Zelda. I would just want them to do something better with that game in terms of gameplay and not holding my hand like I'm a 3-year-old. So,
right. So what you're saying, the art is great.
I'm excited to read it.
The way the book is split up is the first, like, chapter or section, the first, like, 60 pages or so, deals with Skyward Sword and just pretty much breaking down, like, enemies, levels, concepts, like, environments, all the characters and stuff. And I know, like, we were talking about you not enjoying Skyward Sword, but... the great thing about all this concept art is that it's not pixelated or jaggy. It actually looks really nice. You know what I mean? That, like, one of the biggest issues you had with Skyward Sword was the graphics.
Right, yeah. So I was super excited to see all the artwork in this book. I think it's just going to be so fabulous.
Yeah. And then the next section breaks down what I think is the
Are there maps?
I haven't gone through it.
There probably is.
I'll
be very upset.
But man, they just... You know how they published the Zelda timeline a while ago? And it was this weird, like, sort of... This happens, and if this
the
happens,
this
thing, happens.
Yeah, like the tree? Yeah. Yeah,
that's explained in about 100 pages. Nice. Which is good for people who...
That's amazing.
...are really, like, into Zelda and want to kind of... Because they fleshed it out, and most people are like... Oh, they just made it up for the book. But I sort of believe that they always had a timeline and that it didn't need to be published.
Mm-hmm.
So
no, I completely agree. I don't think they made it up for the book at all. I mean, if anything, maybe they went back into all their lore and like made a graphic out of it, you know, like a graphical representation of everything that's happened in the games.
Mm-hmm.
I can see maybe they did that for the book. Yeah. But... I don't think that they ever went into any Zelda game without an idea of how it fit into the lore and the world. Or at least I would hope not.
But. No, I think they just sort of had this concept, you know, in the back of their heads. But they didn't want to, like, sort of... Well, it's Nintendo. They probably didn't want to confuse the games. Confuse the gamers by trying to explain this timeline. I mean, so that it's interesting, and like I said, I'm planning to read it cover to cover, so I haven't really like kind of flipped through it. I was just flip throughing it there, and I really want to read everything. Flip throughing it, flip through it, blah blah blah. But it really wants me to. It really wants me. It's talking to me now, Jocelyn. Oh my god, I want to play a Zelda game really badly, because of this book.
It had the exact same effect on me. I came home last night and I was like, oh man, Joel's not here. I don't have a key for the mail. So even if it comes, I'm not going to be able to get it. And then so I walked up to my apartment. We're on the 3rd floor and it's sitting in front of my door. And I was just like, I don't even know how this happened. It's like the mail fairy.
The mail fairy. Oh, is that a movie by probably stars Dwayne The Rock Johnson? Different.
Yes,
different
that would be fantastic.
Yeah, no, and then the last section sort of deals with, it basically covers the whole 25-year history and with concept art and stuff.
Concept art is something I'm really interested in seeing. I remember the Twilight Princess concept art from E3 a few years ago. Oh my god, so pretty. Like, they may not do in-game graphics well, but they do art.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, this just makes me excited to play Wind Waker when it comes out on the Wii U. And also, yeah, I think that's probably what's going to end up happening, unless they release some sort of, I don't know. It just makes me want to play a Zelda game, and I can't really, yeah. I don't want to play Skyward Sword again, and I've kind of gotten used to my Nintendo games looking HD now, so.
I see. Well, for me, I played more StarCraft 2. Mm-hmm. I beat that stupid train level the next time I tried it, and they're not stupid levels, they're very, very fun. It's just when I don't beat it the first time, then I get frustrated, and I think I'm, like, failing in some way, but they try to screw you over.
Are you playing on normal or hard?
I think I was on normal, but I think I switched it to hard because there's a lot of achievements that are tied to hard. So if I just go through hard, then I unlock the achievements the first time through.
Yeah. I think... I can't remember what I played on. I think I played through on normal. Mm.
It's really fun. I like the story. It's a really cool universe. So.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I was. It was in the train robbery one. They start sending more and more dudes along with the train to protect the train. And right at the very end, like your last train, they send air units. But all of the fast ground, like they're kind of like hovercraft things. I can't remember what they're called now. Oh, that's bad. They're kind of hovercrafts with, like, a blue laser thingy.
Shit.
Not Goliaths or Behemoths, but it's something like that. Anyway, so that's what you use to chase the train. Am I just getting shit in the chat room right now?
No.
I'm sorry, StarCraft fans.
Everyone's still talking about how they can't hear me. I'm trying to ignore them.
Still?
Yeah. Just, so, you know what, folks, just
bear with us.
The audio will be fine on the audio show, and we'll do something with the video to fix it. So, your mystery unit that shoots blue lasers, that's cool. So how far are you? Are you close to finishing it, or?
I don't think so.
It's a fairly long campaign.
It is a really long campaign, because I don't feel, like, I only have, like, 15 or so points on both. On the research scale of the Protoss of the Zerg. So I think I've probably done probably 8 or 10 missions. But.
Oh, there's like 26, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't even get the feel like I'm even halfway yet. So I'm still doing the missions for the, like, mercenary guy, Toth or something.
That's been so long.
Renegade ghost guy. He sends you on all these missions to get a whole bunch of money. And then, so I'm still doing that to try to build up my arsenal and stuff. So, but it's really, really cool. I really like it. So I'm having...
Who'd you pick then? When you had the choice between the two... So you picked the dreadlocks guy?
Choice between what two? I had to choose?
There's a point where you can choose allegiances. I'm not spoiling anything.
I'm not there yet!
All right, well, spoiler alert, you have to choose allegiances. And there's no like, black guy with dreadlocks? Am I remembering it differently?
Yeah, no, black guy with dreadlocks is the renegade ghost guy.
Yeah.
And okay. He's, like, all mad at me, because he's like, you don't trust me. I'm like, yes, I do. What's wrong with you?
Well, there's going to be
such a chick.
speaking of chicks, there'll be a sexy ghost lady come in.
I see.
And you have to choose. But it doesn't really amount to anything.
I don't think.
One of them dies and one lives. Just kidding. I'm kidding.
No, this isn't a Mass Effect game.
No, it's not. No.
So I've also been playing more WoW because ever since I got my PC, I'm on such a Blizzard kick.
You're in Amu's back pocket. What the hell? Playing Blizzard games nonstop and complaining about other MMOs made by EA? Come on.
Okay, I have legitimate complaints.
You always have legitimate complaints.
So, I'm at level 71 now on my main, which is awesome.
Are you both Joel and you are at 71?
I'm at 71. I think he's still at 70. I picked up archaeology, and every time that I go and mine dig at a survey at an archaeology site, then I get like 7,000 XP for each little artifact that I find. It's crazy. So I'm just like going pew through the roof. But he hasn't picked up archaeology yet, so he's way behind.
I never did archaeology.
I like it. It's interesting.
You know what I need to do? Is I need to whip out my Cataclysm art book, and then maybe I'll want to play WoW.
Mm.
Which is...
You don't even try to figure out where it is.
No, I know where it is. It's still in the fucking box. We're not getting into this again where I buy a collector's edition.
No. And then it never amounts to anything.
Okay, you know what? I learned my lesson. The one time I looked at took the art book out when I bought a collector's edition, I spoiled the game. Do you remember Mass Effect 3? I went through all that trouble. And then I read the art book, and at the very end, they described, like, the end boss could have been this. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
Ah! I slammed it. For all you people not listening. But yeah, no, I'm not going to do that because I have zero time. Right now. Maybe next week.
Yeah. Well, I'm still having a ton of fun in WoW, but the things that I'm having fun with are not necessarily what I want to be having fun with. Like, I'm having fun flying around doing archaeology, discovering the world, and doing pet battles. And what I'm really not liking right now is questing. I'm so upset or disappointed, I guess, because at the end of Burning Crusade, what I wanted to do is wrap up that quest line, you know, get as high as possible with Descryers and kill Illidan. And you can't kill Illidan unless you go do a freaking raid. And do you know how many people are playing in Outland right now on the entire Earthen Ring server? I'm pretty sure there's probably 10.
Like, well,
it's ridiculous. I couldn't get 25 people even if a raid was open to Alliance and Horde.
You're describing the age-old problem where single-player gamers like you and I go to play an MMO and say, I want to kill the guy who's on the front of the box. Sorry, you can't do that. Best-case scenario, you can talk to him or take a quest from him, but you can't kill him because usually, especially in WoW, the bad guys are raid bosses. And that being said, most people will argue that with the newer expansions, you have a better chance of actually playing the raids because of looking for raid. Technically,
that's the thing, is like, we could queue up, but I'm saying there are so few people that are killing Illidan right now that even if we queued up, it would just never happen.
Oh, is Black Temple on LFR? Look at me in my acronyms.
I think so. Look at me understanding your acronyms.
Oh. Looking for group.
It took me a long time to figure that one out.
LFGBLL.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
LF2DPS.
Stop now, because I've lost me.
Before, back in the days when they didn't have looking for group and stuff, that's how you did it. You just spammed trade chat. It was the most annoying thing ever. That sucks. I agree with you. I never took down Illidan, the Blood Elf dude, or I think never killed Arthas. I killed his lich guy.
Mm-hmm. Like, these are all such huge story points, and I wish that because they've totally nerfed all the rest of the Burning Crusade content. It's stupid easy. You get a bazillion experience points. You only have to do like 5 quests in each zone before you're up a level and you can go to the next zone. Like, it's so easy to go through solo, and then all of a sudden you get to the end of it and it's, 25-man raid boss. What? I didn't like Outland anyway. I liked the whole Kalthus Sunstrider lore story, but you don't actually fight him there. You fight him back at the Blood Elf town. So, you know, like, I didn't really like being in Outland. It kind of sucked. So what I was, like, pushing through and telling Joel, I was like, no, we have to stay in Outland. We have to stay in Outland because at the end we get to kill Illidan, and then we can't kill Illidan.
You thought it was just, like, a quest?
I did.
Oh, that's
well, like,
sucks.
I mean, I knew he was going to be really, really hard, and I thought that, because the thing is, Joel and I have really been trying to play without spoilers. So we don't go and try to figure out what the best way is to go through. We just try to, you know, get the highest level quests that we can get and get the most XP that we can. Try to figure out what the main storyline quests are. So, for instance, when you first go to Shattrath, you have to choose between the Alders and the Scryers. So we were like, okay, well, obviously, if you have to make this big alignment faction choice, then probably the Scryer quests are all going to be the main storyline important ones. And they're kind of not, you know? Like, there's nothing really big going on there.
Yeah. You're going to find, I'll warn you, probably same with, okay, the difference between Burning Crusade and Wrath of Lich King, which you're heading into next, is that Wrath of Lich King, you still have to go through a raid to kill Arthas. Mm-hmm. However, you will be interacting with Arthas all throughout your quests. You'll be running into him through quest lines, and you'll even have some really cool story moments involving Arthas and explanations of how he got to be who he was. The main difference being that in Burning Crusade, you heard Illidan, but never saw him until the very end in that 20-man raid, whereas in Wrath of the Lich King, he's constantly popping up and saying, "Ah ha ha, I'm evil, and all this shit has happened because
right
of
in your
me."
Face.
Exactly. Yeah. So you have that to look forward to.
No, that's true. And I mean, we've done some questing in Northrend. Kind of as soon as we hit 68, then we went over there and we were just kind of flying around and discovering and picking up whatever quests we could pick up. But, you know, most of our questing was done back in Outland until we hit 70. So, and I just kept telling Joel, like, no, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It doesn't get better.
No.
You and probably, I think that's just, that's what I'm missing in MMOs in general is a story. Is some, like, main... I want Skyrim. I want one main story questline with a whole bunch of alternate quest lines that you can do at any time. Like, the side quest stuff. But even the side quests in Skyrim, like, they follow a quest line, you know? Like, I just find that there's no way to tell, like, even, like, a different color exclamation mark, like red. Be like, hey, you should do this because it's really important to the lore of the world.
Burning Crusade was more about exploration. At the end, you got to kill Illidan. But Wrath of Lich King is about exploration, but also very story based. And there's one thread, and that thread is preparing yourself to take down the Lich King, Arthas. But and Cataclysm as well. Like, you're sort of, it's not really explorative because it's sort of more of the main world. But your main goal is to defeat Deathwing, and then continue so on and so forth. The Mists of Pandaria, which is even more story based from what I was able to play, that's the content you want to get to as soon as possible because it is very story based, and they've really made it like a single player game. You know, they don't. Mm-hmm. You know, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
You're getting there. You're working towards the awesome.
So close.
Yes.
So what else have you... I mean, I have more stuff to talk about, more MMOs that I finally played a year and a bit later, but do you want to talk about Don't Starve?
Sure, I'm going to talk about Don't Starve. This is a game that is on PC, and it's currently in beta. However, you can purchase it on Steam, which is odd. I think most people would kind of stay away from this stuff, but the game is... sort of a survival type game, and the title Don't Starve is very literal in the sense that when you die, if you starve, basically you have 2 meters for, you have your heart meter, which is your health, you take damage or whatever via monsters or something, and then your stomach, like literally an image of your stomach and then a meter, and you have to eat. When you appear in the game, you're just this wily scientist, and you appear in the game, and this guy says, you know, you better get something to eat and build a fire because you're going to die if you don't. And I said, well, okay. So you're plopped into this game. When you first boot up the game for the very first time, you can only make an axe, and that's it. An axe and a fire, I believe. And you have to basically walk around the world, which is randomly generated.
Cool.
Yeah, really cool, because when you get sick of that map, you just quit out of the game, or when you die, you say, generate new world. So not only is it randomly generated, but you control the randomly generated stuff. So if you get a map that you really like, and you know where everything is, and you like that, you can keep it like that. And that's key, because what you want to do in the game is you want to collect materials. Starting off with enough materials like sticks and rocks to build your axe. And then when you have your axe, you can start collecting wood by chopping down trees. And then you can continue by building more items. But the catch is that as you keep going, there's a night-day cycle. So when night comes, you need to build a fire, because if you don't, you it's never happened to me, but from what I hear, you instantly die because monsters kill you. Like the screen goes.
You just see it because there isn't even any light to see by.
Exactly. In the dark time, the game goes pitch black, and monsters will come and basically kill you, and then you get game over. So that's one way to die. You do get weapons in the game. You can craft. I've gotten far enough where I've been able to craft a spear to use to kill spiders. I'm doing this is the spear motion. Like that. And you know, there's like these pig guys that I ran into, and I usually kill them, and then I have a hammer that lets me destroy their buildings. It's interesting. I don't really know if there's a end or goal. I think the goal is just to last as long as possible. Like, it's weird. It's got a really cool progression method as well. Like, I was mentioning that you craft items, and the more materials you collect, the better items you can craft. There's also a research mechanic that you build a science machine.
And I want to have a science machine.
Yeah, and the science machine is what you would do at nighttime, because the only problem I have so far with the game is that sometimes nighttime is boring, because really all you can do is keep your fire going, which isn't that interesting. It's like drag a piece of wood onto the fire and you're good for another minute. Night doesn't last very long, but really that time is supposed to be spent researching. So basically what you do is you drag stuff you've created into the science machine, and then you get like research points, and those research points are used to unlock more items to use on your quest to not starve. And you know, there's like abilities to like capture birds and rabbits and then cook them and eat them, and you can do a lot of different things. And when you die, you gain XP that unlocks the next character that you can play as. So that's kind of cool. That kind of gives you motivation to not to just keep playing the same game. You know, eventually you want to die so you can start over and unlock new characters. But the really interesting thing is that when you die, you keep your progression. So say you unlock the spear in your game and then you die. When you come back into the game, you will be able to create that spear again once you get all the materials. So it saves your progress, which I was kind of surprised. I kind of figured it would just reset you. So it kind of like, rather than waiting to the fifth day to make a spear, you can do it on day one if you have the stuff. But it's really interesting. And I mean, the reason I was actually playing it is because it is $12 on Steam, but that gets you two copies. So not only is it 10% off, they give you two copies for the price of one. Lou sent this to me because he bought it and wrote an article about it on our fantastic website, gamersinpodcast.com. He wrote a wonderful article about the game, and he likes it as well and recommends it. So yeah, if you're at all interested in this game, check it out. The art style is really cool. It's sort of like cel shaded, but not. You might like this type of cel shaded. Do you know Mark of the Ninja?
I've heard everybody talking about Mark of the Ninja, but I've never actually played it. Or really seen anything about it. I think I might have seen the cover art, but that's it.
It's made by the same guys. It's really cool. And this is sort of in the same vein as FTL, in the sense that you can kind of just play for a bit and then stop. You know, I'm really digging those games these days, because I'm finding... lately, I haven't had a lot of time, but I've had time to like jump in for an hour, get my fill, and jump out, rather than having to spend an hour... Like, sometimes I won't play Assassin's Creed 3 unless I have, like, 2 or 3 hours, because it takes an hour to get into the, you know, the routine of the game, right? So, I highly recommend Don't Starve. You should check it out.
I saw Scott's Frog Pants TV.
Right.
Episode where he played Don't Starve, and it was really cool looking.
Yeah.
He was awful at killing rabbits and just totally got it all wrong, but...
Yeah. Yeah,
I think the game looks really cool.
His daughter made a valid point, and I took her advice and basically waited on the other side of the rabbit hole, and then clicked on the rabbit, and you basically run towards the rabbit, and as he's running straight towards you to get to his hole, and yep. You just kill him, and it works perfectly. So,
yep,
good on
She's
you.
She's a smart one.
What can I say? Scott Johnson's got smart kids. I don't know. What else could you say?
So I've still, this is a huge confession, I've still been playing The Simpsons.
And I still haven't been able to get in.
Really?
No. The stupid thing's broken.
I've been, I was totally ready to give it up. I was done. I was like, you know what? EA, Simpsons, done. And then they came out with the Valentine's update. And it just makes me feel so loved. Because every time I log in, I click on my characters because they have little Valentines above their heads. And then so I click on them and then little hearts pop out. And then it says, from Cowboy, from Nicole Stagg. And I was just like, aw. So it makes me happy.
See, EA does have a heart. You just gotta dig.
They just know how to manipulate mine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. EA's been weird lately.
Yeah. So about that, I tried SWTOR.
Oh, you did.
I wear my SWTOR shirt.
I'll take your word for it. You don't like your SWTOR shirt? What is it?
No, I don't like the game.
Causing itches of some kind.
It's, I played, first the game took forever to install. And I mean, like, you know how fast my computer is? It took, like, hours.
So, took hours? Is that because it was downloading?
No, I have it on disk.
Yeah, but so, you might not have, like, the free-to-play editions, right?
I don't know. I put the disk in, and then it took forever to install, and it was, like... It was also the old school install thing where it showed you all the like files as they're extracting and stuff. And I was just like, okay.
Maybe it's the game.
It's kind of lame because, you know, every other game now has like cutscenes or concept art or something. And no, not EA. They don't even care anymore. They're not even trying.
You'd think with like all the Star Wars lore, they'd be able to throw some...
Right?
And Chewie lived on to be happily ever after with his Wookiee friends.
Yay, Wookiees! Anyways, total sidetrack.
That's the best I could do. The poor woman upstairs is just hating me. It's a good thing I'm out of here.
Yeah, really. So, it took forever to install, and then I get in there, and I knew that it was... lockdown, that there was some functionality that was locked down because I was trying it out free to play. I am so glad I didn't pay for that crap.
So
I got to level 10, so I played through some stuff. I chose all the choices that you have in terms of races are human, starts with a Z. He's red and spiky like Darth Maul, but I can't remember what the race is called.
Zebra, Zabrak. Zabrak? Zabrak?
Oh, that sounds close.
Sounds close. Zebra.
Yeah. Not the zebra part, the second part.
I don't know. Is it some weird Star Wars word?
Yeah.
There's probably an apostrophe in there somewhere. I don't know.
And then sometimes you can be a cyborg, but you can't be a cyborg for the Sith Inquisitor, which is what I wanted to be, was a cyborg if I had to choose between those three. And then so I was like, Sith Inquisitor, can't be a cyborg. So I'm a human Inquisitor, which is boring. Weird. Like, the best part of Star Wars is you get to play all these different races, right? So, and even then, like, I mean, there was one dude who was also, like, going through the Sith Academy thing the same time I was, and he was one of the red spiky dudes. But, everybody else was humans. So I was just like, this is really, really boring. Like, this doesn't feel like Star Wars at all. And, like, I have a cool lightning shoot out of my hand power, which is cool. And, I mean, fighting with a lightsaber is all right, but, you know, it's still the same mechanic of the 1-2-3, 1-2-3, or, you know, like, it's still button mashing, so...
Right.
I was not very impressed, and, like, when I couldn't even choose any race other than, like, human or cyborg or red dude, I was just like, oh, man, really? And then, so, we've been through this before. Oh, we've been God. Through a lot of this before. But I tried to log in to play, like, before I even got in to choose my character. It asks you what either your username or email is. Right. So I was like, okay, I know I signed up for the beta, so I'm just going to enter my email address and the password I'm sure I used. And it was like, nope, that didn't work. And so I was like, okay, fine. So I was like, all right, well, email me my username and password. So it did, and it emailed me my username. And it's because basically what they did is when they made Origin accounts, they didn't make you sign up for SWTOR because I signed up for the beta years ago. So when you sign up for the beta, it wasn't an EA account. It was a SWTOR account. And they've since smooshed it with Origin. Mm-hmm. So I now have two usernames tied to the same account, the same email account. I don't even know how that happens. Like, their database on the back end is so fucking broken, dude. Like, just... grr.
Why don't you just quit all the EA business? Just stop playing their freaking games.
Because they make games that I think I could love, but they just make it so hard.
Okay, what's the... I'm telling you, we're going to just start a segment called Ryan Plays SimCity for Jocelyn. All right, Jocelyn, what do you want me to do next? I want you to build plumbing so this guy doesn't... I don't know what you do in SimCity.
Build plumbing.
Is that what you do? Plumbing? You build plumbing? You know, lay road to the county out west. I don't know. What is SimCity about?
that's actually pretty accurate.
Oh, okay, good. Because I am good at laying plumbing.
Yeah.
Wait, what? No.
What?
I couldn't do plumbing to save my life.
So yeah, so now I tried to stop.
Sorry, I don't know what I'm doing. Dancing for the chat, so they, anyways, go ahead.
So I tried to get GIS Gamer when I signed up with my Gmail account. I tried to get GIS Gamer as my Origin account, like, username, and it was like, no, somebody's already taken it. Do you know who'd already taken it? Me, with the same email address.
Just quit. Stop this madness. You're going to give yourself ulcers and then, like, your hair is going to fall out.
I know. So now I have... And so then it warns me that if I change the password that's associated with my email, it's going to change my Origin account. I'm just like, what?
We need to start... Okay. We need to start another podcast called EA Sucks at All the Things. And then we can just talk about... You know, and there'd be one segment where EA tries to do good, but doesn't make up for everything we just talked about for the last hour. That could be our podcast.
It could be. It'd be great.
We could send it to EA and say, this is what you need to fix.
Yeah, really? Oh, man. It
makes
me so upset.
So are you buying SimCity?
I don't know.
You still don't know.
If it was made by anyone but EA, I would be like, of course, I already have it pre-ordered, but it's made by EA, and I don't know. Although, I mean, at least with all the other games, right now I'm kind of getting all of my EA headaches out of the way, so it might be that when it actually comes time to get SimCity, I can just load the game, and I can log into the game, and I can play the game.
One can hope that it will work out just 100%. And me saying all this, I'm going to get it, and then I'm going to have these huge issues. Oh,
I don't wish EA issues on you, but I just a little bit want you to experience what I have been experiencing. It's awful.
Yeah. No thanks. But you've experienced some crappy stuff.
Yeah. So, do you know what's not awful? Or by not awful, I mean amazing.
What, Jocelyn?
It is the Kerrigan rifle.
Hmm.
If you use the code Kerrigan in conjunction with the code TheGamersIn to double your RAM as usual, you will also have a chance to win a super sweet Kerrigan replica from Bill Doran of Punished Props. Doran of Punished Props. I'm sorry, Bill. Please don't hate me.
Unless I got it wrong. I don't know.
I don't even know.
I think it's Doran. Oh, God. We're going to have a show.
The only way to be entered to win the rifle, which has a $1,200 value, is to use the Kerrigan code at checkout, which is at doghousesystems.com. Any purchase of any PC will get you into the draw. So stay tuned to the Gamers Inn, because we are going to be having Bill Doran. Which one did we say it was?
It's Doran.
Doran. Okay. the maker of this awesome rifle, on to talk all things cosplay on March 1st. So you have to submit your purchase to Doghouse using the Kerrigan code by March 12th, which is the launch of Heart of the Swarm, to be considered a valid entry. So head on over to doghousesystems.com and get your order on. Big thanks to Doghouse for their continued support of our show.
Yay! Stop weird notes. BioWare. Quickfire news. BioWare is teasing new DLC. Earlier this week, Mass Effect series producers Casey Hudson and Michael Gamble tweeted photos of a casino in the Mass Effect universe and also a Krogan in heavy armor swinging a giant hammer. Nothing further was said. They're just a bunch of teases. And then, you know, fast forward to today, when a title update for Mass Effect 3 was data mined that shed some light on new DLC. Data for a major new multiplayer mode was uncovered, which will use save data from choices made throughout your single-player campaign, including Paragon or Renegade values, reputation points, and overall progress. This probably relates to the Krogan picture, while the casino is probably for the final single-player DLC. All that said, we should know more mid-February, just prior to the one-year Mass Effect 3 anniversary. And then just before we started the show, I saw a tweet by Michael Gamble, who said, "Seeing a lot of speculation today on our upcoming DLC, but haven't seen anything correct yet. Winky face." So maybe he's bullshitting. I don't know.
Maybe he's just trying to lead you astray.
That Michael Gamble. It's in his name. Gamble. All right, I'm done.
GameStick closes its Kickstarter at $647,658. We reported a few weeks ago that GameStick had their Kickstarter campaign pulled for a few hours over a DMCA claim. That doesn't seem to have affected its campaign at all, though, as they closed out over $500,000 ahead of their $100,000 goal. The Android-based micro console also met its stretch goals. The console is the same size as a USB stick, has the specs of most smartphones, and plugs into your TV's HDMI port and communicates with the controllers via Bluetooth. With the stretch goals met, the consoles will come in four colors, and it is targeting an April release.
Am I the only one that didn't know what this was?
Yes.
Oh, God. Anyways, ex-Vigil staff picked up by Crytek. While Darksiders is still in limbo as THQ tries to find a buyer, the core team at Vigil has been hired by Crytek to form a new studio called Crytek USA. Really? Like, that's not creative. This is great news for the team, as they were the only studio not to be picked up in the THQ sale last week. Here's hoping when the Darksiders rights do go up for auction at a later date, Crytek can swoop in once again to the rescue.
A woman lost 44 pounds so she could cosplay better. I'm probably going to butcher this name, so I'm really, really sorry. I couldn't even get Duran right. Ajo, one of Taiwan's most famous cosplayers, has released before and after photos of herself as she has lost 44 pounds in order to become a better cosplayer. There have been some controversy surrounding the story, as always, due to people stating that she shouldn't have to lose weight to feel good about herself. Although, true statement, Ajo lost the weight to do better at something she loves, and she did it through diet and exercise over a period of 10 years. I personally don't see the difference between that and being an athlete picking up a new sport. I mean, it takes some serious endurance to cosplay all day at a con. All of the lifestyle choices she made to be a better cosplayer make her happy, so I say good on her. Or off her, I guess.
That story is probably going to get me in trouble for the research that I did. So.
Oh my God, I felt so dirty and wrong when I was reading about that at work. I was like, oh no, I'm going to get fired.
Well, the pictures are just like, she's like, I don't know, she's just the way she's holding herself. Anyways, that she looks great. Good on her. Junction Point closes doors. For good. The developer behind the Epic Mickey franchise and headed by Warren Spector is no more. Disney has shut the studio down and all employees involved will receive severance packages. This comes after less than awesome sales and reviews for Epic Mickey 2, which launched in November. Warren is no longer with Disney Interactive and still no word on what he plans to do next. The Epic Mickey IP remains with Disney, but the company has no current plans for the franchise. This is very unfortunate news, as the Epic Mickey brand had some really cool potential.
We have a PlayStation event that is happening February 20th, so hold on to your butts! I already said that we're getting a PlayStation event on February 20th. I should really reread these before I start talking. Everyone expects there will be a major next-gen console announcement, rumors which are backed by photographic evidence leaking all over the internet. The event will start at 6 p.m. Eastern, but if you can't tune in, you can sign up for an email alert on their website in order to be first to know.
I was going to say, I didn't have anything funny to say about that, but you took care of it. Medal of Honor gets benched. Warfighter, which released in October of 2012, received its fair share of bad reviews and didn't sell as well as EA had hoped it would. This has led EA to remove Medal of Honor from its lineup. Chief Operating Officer Peter Moore said, "We struggled with two challenges, the slowdown that impacted the entire sector and poor critical and commercial reception for Medal of Honor Warfighter. Judging by the reception, I don't think many people will miss the Medal of Honor offering, and it's nice to see EA taking the hint and returning to the drawing board."
Oh, Nintendo. First, remember all those virtual console games that you pay more money to move over to your Wii, from your Wii to your Wii U? Yeah, your save games can't come too. I know you want them, but Wii U says no. You can transfer all your Wii data over and play them like you would on the Wii, but if you want updated versions and gamepad support, you'll have to start your playthroughs over again. Which is kind of what the virtual console is for, right? In other Nintendo news, they have cut their sales forecasts for their hardware. Wii U forecasts are down 1.5 million units for sales to the end of March. The forecasts for all hardware are down a total of 2.5 million units for the fiscal year. On the plus side, the yen is weaker, which means higher than expected profits for Nintendo due to currency exchange rates. Woohoo! All the Nintendo forecast info can be found in our show notes. Which brings us to our topic of the week, and we're continuing on like we did last week. We are actually having two big news stories that we're going to talk about because we thought they merited a little bit more mention than just Quickfire.
So, Ryan, why don't...
I know, it's insanity. What's our first story?
Beep, 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 beep. Our first story is that WoW, the WoW movie, has a director, and this time it's for realsies, Jocelyn.
Really? For real?
Yes, for realsies. Duncan Jones, hired as the director for the WoW movie. If you don't know who that is, he's the son of David Bowie, but more relevantly, he is directed Source Code and... Moon,
which I am a huge fan of. I really like that movie.
I've never seen Moon, but I have seen Source Code.
What are your thoughts on Source Code?
Good. I liked it. I thought it was a good movie, and I've seen parts of Moon. So, I mean, I have complete faith that he's going to deliver a pretty awesome movie. And he has gone on record. He's said before on Twitter, he's very active on Twitter, and he stated that video game movies can be done right. And then when it was announced he was a director, he followed that up with, "I've always said video games movies can be done right, and I guess now I get to prove myself right." So... he thinks he seems pretty confident that he can deliver a pretty awesome movie for us, and they're actually going to start shooting this year for a 2015 release, which is pretty crazy. 2015 is like Star Wars, Avengers 2, Guardians of the Galaxy, I think. But yeah, just a bunch of big titles, and I don't think Duncan has ever had a project like this as big, so it'll be interesting to see what he does with more money, budget, and cast, for that matter. I think they're sticking with a script that was written by other scribes for I think a year ago, but it should be interesting to see what they do. Now, do you think Duncan Jones can handle this? Do you think, based on your viewing of Moon...
I was going to say, I haven't seen Source Code, so I only have one movie to go on, but I thought Moon was a really different and interesting kind of a story, and I can see how it would have been difficult, not necessarily difficult to direct, but it could have gone really wrong and really hokey very quickly, and I felt it was well done. I really enjoyed it the whole way through, so I think that... I'm more excited about him than I was about Sam Raimi.
Yeah.
So that's a plus. I don't know about Johnny Depp in the movie. And I mean, I am a huge Johnny Depp fan. Like, I love him. I just don't really want him in my WoW.
I was going to do an impression of Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, but I couldn't. I can't think of anything that I haven't seen the Pirates of the Caribbean movies in a while. But I mean, the article makes a good point where they're talking about Johnny Depp. Like, doesn't every studio want Johnny Depp? He's like the guy, right?
He is the guy. Yeah.
No offense to Johnny Depp. I think he'd be great in the WoW movie, but not as any of the main characters. I can't picture him as any of the main characters. Like, could you imagine if they made him like, okay,
I think the problem is I don't want my WoW to become the Johnny Depp movie. You know, like, I want him to be not there.
All right. I'm going to propose something that should never, ever happen, but Pirates of the Caribbean with orcs.
No.
Think about it.
No.
That could happen.
I don't think so.
Probably not. But, I mean, Johnny Depp could be, like, the plucky warlock. Or not warlock. Merlock, rather. Fox for some reason, you know, I think that would work. Maybe he's like a bewitched wizard who was turned into a merlock, and he's like the comic relief, you know. I think that'd be great, but I couldn't see him playing like the main human, like,
no,
the protagonist. Yeah. But this is awesome news, because especially for a director to be announced like this, and like writers and saying they're going to shoot this year, because I think we could see some interesting progress by BlizzCon next year. They have BlizzCon in October, and I think by October they could have, like, we could have a cast announcement, maybe even like plot details.
I'm really hoping that since it's coming out in 2015, that I can somehow play a Blood Elf. What do you say, go. Blizzard?
Blizzard, hook us up. She could be a Blood Elf. I don't want to be a Blood Elf, because that's very different. The Blood Elf males are not as... Yeah. I don't know what I want to be. A Worgen with those awesome top hats.
A Worgen would be cool. Except for the fact that the Worgens are Alliance, which I still think is weird and wrong. And yeah. I want to be a Worgen, but I don't want to be Alliance.
Alliance aren't that bad.
I don't know.
Alliance Night Elves. They are bad.
They are jerks.
I played a Night Elf rogue for like 3 years, and I gotta say, I nearly didn't come back from that. But yeah, World of Warcraft, the movie, crazy surprise announcement. Crazy.
I'm very excited about it. So our second story is that Gabe gave a talk, and he said that Valve's biggest competitor is actually Apple. He doesn't really care about the consoles. He just thinks that he needs to get, or not necessarily him and Steam and Valve, but the PC industry has to get into the living room before Apple does.
Can I just say something about Valve and Apple for that matter? Valve and Apple are the only two companies that seem to be realistic when they talk about competition. They mention their competition by name. They acknowledge that they're great people and that if they were to beat them to this, they would totally trounce them. But like, Microsoft never talks about like Apple or Sony or Nintendo. They just talk about themselves. Like, RIM just did a big announcement where they didn't even talk about the iPhone. They just talked about how their new phone was going to be amazing. But this is crazy awesome that Gabe tells it how it is. You know, Apple will win if they beat us to the living room.
Yeah.
I think that's great.
So what do you think? Because, I mean, I was kind of unclear. I didn't watch a lot of CES coverage, so I was really unclear about what the Steam Box was going to be. Yeah. I thought they were trying to basically make a console with the guts of a PC. And I was like, well, that's never going to work. Not at their price point. But then I was reading more about it today, and they were saying that it's basically going to connect to your PC and stream content from your PC over to your TV using their big picture thing and, you know, all of that tech.
There are multiple models. You have the consumer one that will primarily be a streamer. And this is just based on information that I've heard around the internet, and there will be a pro model that does streaming but is also basically a Steam console, and that's the one that Valve will be focusing on. Mm-hmm. But they will be offering a wide range, I think, of the Steam Box. I'm really interested in the streaming tech because in my new house, the office is double the length that I'm at now from the living room. So mm-hmm. I was able to run an HDMI cable for a reasonable price from where I'm sitting right now to the TV. But now I don't have that option because my computer's in the other room. So I would really love to have a decent streaming option. Mm-hmm. But I also like the idea of having like a Steam-sanctioned console. So, I mean, I don't know about you. Would you be interested in both or just the streamer? Or what do you think?
I don't know. I think with the next-gen console stuff coming out now, that might be a little bit more compelling. But then my computer's brand new, so I love the guts of that. So if I could just stream from my computer to my TV and still use the guts of my computer to play my games, that would be interesting. So I don't really know. I mean, it depends what price point they end up being able to make it at, right? Because they've said that they want to hit a price point that the consoles won't be able to. Like, so, I mean, if you think about now, you can get an Xbox with a 4-gig hard drive for, you know, $200. They are aiming well below that with their Steam Box. So, and then if you look at Apple, Apple's got the Apple TV, which is, you know, $99 or $120. I can't remember. I think there's two different models now, the 720 and the 1080, and I think there's a price difference there. But I just can't remember if it's like $79 and $99 or if it's $99 and $120. But anyways, the point is they're already hitting that low price point, and if they could somehow maximize their ecosystem with maybe bringing in iPhones and the tablets and, you know, come out with some kind of controller accessory and, you know, like most of their hardware is already there and they already have mindshare with the general public. Gamers love Valve. PC people love Valve. But in terms of, like, my mom, she has, like, an iPhone and, you know, an iPod, and she knows the I things. If I was like, oh my God, mom, Steam Box, she'd be like, a what and a who now?
I make what? I steam my, whatever. What do you steam? That joke was ruined. What would you steam? Poached eggs, I suppose? I don't know. You mean I can cook on this thing in the living room? I don't know your mother, and I apologize if she's listening.
Much me, but plus 20 years.
Okay. So she knows what a Steam Box is.
Yes.
yeah. And I mean, I think the biggest point he's making is that if Apple puts, like you're saying, if they put their app ecosystem on your TV, they've won the living room because just look how the App Store has taken over. And I think people are comfortable with the company that is Apple, and
the flip side of that, though, is that even though Apple has the mind share, you would think that since, like you just said, with the whole, if they brought the App Store to the living room, they'd just kind of win. I don't know if they're going to do that because it seems so simple. Clearly, it's something they've already thought about. So if it's something that they've already thought about and haven't done, there's got to be a reason. So maybe they're just not going that way. Well, maybe they're thinking that, you know, there's already, you know, like there's all of these Android Kickstarter projects, which are all around the $100 price point, right? Mm-hmm. There's, like, I can think of, there's the GameStick and then the Ouya I can think of off the top of my head. Those are down in that price point. Then, you know, you've got Steam is coming out with their PC, like bringing the PC into the living room, which is a totally different kind of gaming than what Apple could offer, realistically. And then, you know, you've already got the Wii U, the PlayStation, whatever they call their next PlayStation and whatever they call the next Xbox. That's a lot of stuff in your living room. Apple might just be like, you know what? We're just going to let you guys have this.
Well, I mean, Apple, like all companies, love money. And I think, but the difference between Apple and other companies is that Apple is sort of like, yeah, if we can't make it a wonderful experience, a magical experience, they're not going to do it, right? Mm-hmm. Like, look at the iPad and look at the iPhone. Like, there's a reason they didn't launch with hardware keyboards. Yeah. Sure, it's easy to do a hardware keyboard and, like, put one of those little stupid nipple things on it to move a mouse around. I mean, sure, we can do that, and it's been done, but it's not magical. It's not easy to use, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the biggest issue with the TV, and I think Nintendo has actually done them a favor by prototyping this for them, because Apple's going to take what they've done with the Wii U and make it way better, because I think they just need that that control. And I mean, Valve has sort of has stated the problem. They're starting with the keyboard and mouse with the Steam Box, but they've already said that there's a reason we're getting into hardware and looking at peripherals and stuff, because we know they've gone on record saying the mouse and keyboard is not the thing that should stick around. Mm-hmm. You know, so I think the difference is that Valve is just willing to jump into the pool sooner. And he basically explains this by saying that we need to beat Apple to it, even if we're doing it with inferior controls and stuff. Yeah, I think Apple is going to do it. I think they're trying to get the experience right.
They're trying to make it perfect. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's, you just summed it right up. They're trying to make it perfect.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to keep following this and see what Apple does. In the meantime, it's time for listener feedback, and we actually have some this week on our Facebook page. Jim Beam, who Bean. Left a... Bean, sorry, Bean. Oh. You can tell where my mind is.
Not really. What do you mean, Beam?
Isn't Jim Beam alcohol of some kind?
Jim, no.
Whiskey or something? Rum?
Yeah, there's a rum anyways. Or whiskey. Jim Beam. Jim Beam is the whiskey, isn't it? Yeah.
Jim Beam left a huge post on Facebook, which details his geeky tech setup for gaming. So on, two episodes ago or three episodes ago, we talked about hardware like keyboards and mice and stuff. So You guys should all go over to our Facebook page and check out his setup. And please post yours, because we would love to know. So you can visit us on the web at gamersinpodcast.com, where you can find our live feed, our live chat, and our forums. You can email the show at info@gamersinpodcast.com. Please do not email us about how you could not hear Ryan for this whole entire episode, because I'm fairly certain it is a Skype issue that updated right before we started the show. So I apologize for anyone watching the video feed who could only hear me, because I know how terrible that probably was for you. But the audio is being recorded and is fine. So if you want to listen to what Ryan has to say, although I wouldn't, but if you want to listen to what Ryan has to say, it will be available on iTunes as always.
They just came for this. They don't need to hear me. They just want to see this.
They just want to see this. So you can follow us on Twitter. You can find me, Jocelyn, at GISGamer, Ryan at RMurphy, and don't forget to follow the show at The Gamers Inn. You can also find us on Facebook and Google+. Don't forget to leave us an iTunes review, as it's the best way for our show to reach new listeners. Before we go, I just want to give a quick shout-out and thank you to my brother Greg for creating our awesome music. You can find him on Twitter at SoundsInfluence. We would also like to thank Jill Duggan of StarCross Online, who drew our Twitter avatars and created our logo. You can find him on Twitter at Jill Duggan, or read his comic at StarCrossOnline.com. So thanks for staying at the Gamers Inn, and tune in next week. God damn it, son of a bitch whore.
Weird, eh? Ryan, am I quiet, guys? Come on, now. Tell me if I'm quiet. Usually people are telling me to shut up.
I know I'm always telling you to shut up.
I was talking about Ashley. I was really excited today, and I was just going on and on and on. She's like, shut the fuck up. God.